The theme this month is come and see the Lord your God. Tonight we're talking about Jehovah Jireh. And I want to give a little bit of overview of the patriarch Abraham from the Old Testament. When Abraham was 75 years old, you can find this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, God promised to make him into a great nation, to give him many descendants. And then if you jump over to Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, Isaac was born, the promised son through whom Abraham would become a great nation. He was 100 years old, the word says in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. He was 100 years old. God made the promise to Abraham to make him into a great nation when he was 75. That promised son, Isaac, through whom he would become a great nation, was born to Abraham when he was 100. So if you take 100 minus 75, how long did Abraham wait for that promised son? 25 long years. And the Word of God says in Romans chapter 4, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He had a steadfast, strong, undying faith in God. He knew that God had promised to make him into a great nation. And he knew that God would be good to his word. That's found in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. So now we go over to Genesis chapter 22. And now comes the trying or the testing of Abraham's faith. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Verse 2. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Moriah was an area in Israel. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then come back to you." So Isaac was a young man. Verse 6 of Genesis 22. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac had no idea of the command, the task that God was giving his father, Isaac's father Abraham. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now, God knew that Abraham feared him, that Abraham loved God. But it was confirmed with this evidence that he really, really loved God beyond the shadow of a doubt, because he was ready to sacrifice his long-awaited son Isaac in obedience to God. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." One translation says, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So Abraham's faith in God was being tested. How many agree here tonight? He must have been torn at this command from God to sacrifice his son on a mountain in the area of Moriah. He was torn because, you know, Abraham loved God with everything on the inside of him. He loved God. He obeyed God. He had strong faith in God. But he also loved Isaac, whom he had awaited for 25 years. He loved God with everything on the inside, but he also loved the promised son, Isaac. Because he loved God so much, he obeyed God's command. He went up to the mountain, he built an altar, he bound up his son, and he was ready to sacrifice him. But God showed up in the nick of time and provided in a thicket a ram caught by its horns. Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. The Lord will see your need and the Lord will provide. He saw the need that Abraham had and he provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice in place of Isaac. Abraham had a big need, right? What need did Abraham have? He needed the life of his son Isaac to be preserved. That's what he needed. And God, as I said, showed up in the nick of time. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. And there provided a ram in the thicket to be sacrificed in place of Isaac. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord sees and the Lord provides. He sees the need and he makes provision. So friend, I'm asking you today, what need are you facing right now? Are you facing a need for healing in your body? Are you needing the provision of healing, maybe for a terminal diagnosis? Maybe the doctors are saying, humanly speaking, medically speaking, there's nothing that we can do to turn this disease around in your life. We can't do anything, but God says, I can. See, God specializes in making impossible situations possible. Again, maybe it's in the financial realm. Maybe you have more bills at the end of your month than you have money at the end of your month to pay those bills. Maybe financially you're in need right now. And maybe there's naysayers, family, friends, pessimists that are saying, you know what? You've made too many mistakes financially in the past. And you can't advance financially. But God is saying, I can. I'm able to do it for you. Nothing is impossible with me, says God. Or maybe you have a job and maybe you need a better paying job. Maybe you need more finances, more money per hour. And maybe people are telling you it can't be done. But God says, I can do it for you. He is Jehovah Jireh. He sees your need. He will see and he will provide. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. God is no respecter of persons. He did it for Abraham thousands of years ago and he can do it today. We're all made in the image of God. If he provided for Abraham miraculously a ram caught in the thicket, he can provide healing for that terminal illness. He can do a 180 in your life. If people are telling you that financially it can't turn around, God is saying, I can turn it around financially in your life. If the naysayers are telling you that your job situation won't change, God is saying, I can change it for the better. I can provide for your need because God is saying that he is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will see the need and he will make provision. God can do it. He can see your need and he can provide. Let me tell you here tonight. God has always been Jehovah Jireh. the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, and He always will be Jehovah Jireh for us and the generations to come. He never changes. He was always the provider. He is the provider, and He will always be the provider in our lives. Is that good news here tonight? The one who miraculously provided the ram in the thicket, a substitute sacrifice for Isaac, is the God who can miraculously provide for you tonight in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2022. We serve a God who does miracles. He miraculously provides. What is a miracle? It's the supernatural power of God taking a humanly speaking impossible situation and making it possible again. The God who did miracles in the Old Testament never changes. Jesus did miracles in the New Testament, and He still does them today. The God who was provider thousands of years ago is still provider today for you and for me. And don't forget it. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide for you. It's not Jehovah Jireh, the God who might provide or could possibly provide. It's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Is that making sense here tonight? I'm going to read you an illustration that illustrates the point clearly. Charles H. Spurgeon, this comes from the Speaker's Quote book. Charles H. Spurgeon loved to tell stories about his grandfather, a minister who was very poor. The one cow he owned had died, and his 10 children were without milk. His wife asked, "What will we do now?" "I cannot tell," he said, "but I know what God will do. We must have milk for the children, and He will provide for us." So this Charles Spurgeon's grandfather had a lot of faith, right? The next morning, a man brought Spurgeon's grandfather a gift of 20 pounds from the minister's relief fund, even though help had not been requested. A few days before, the relief committee had divided the funds for distribution, and an amount of 5 pounds was left over. One of the members said, "There is poor Mr. Spurgeon down in Essex. Suppose we send it to him." "We better make it 10, said the chairman, "and I'll give another 5. That made it 15. Another man added 5 pounds. Those men knew nothing about Spurgeon's cow, but God knew. God knows. If nobody else knows about your need, God knows. He sees it. He perceives your need. He will see and He will provide for you. He sees it and He provides. So, what is required to see God's provision in our lives? What is required? Faith. And faith is what Abraham had. He had a strong faith, an undying faith, a persevering faith in God. Remember, he waited 25 years for Isaac, the promised son through whom Abraham would become a great nation, without wavering in unbelief. Because he knew that God had the power to do what he had promised. Now, faith is what Abraham had. If we go back to Genesis 22, verse 5 is an important verse. How do we know that Abraham had such faith? Verse 5 of Genesis 22. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." He was telling the servants that he and his son Isaac would return alive to the servants. He knew that he knew that he knew deep down on the inside that God would provide and would preserve the life of his promised son Isaac. He said, "We will return." He was saying to the servants that I and my son Isaac will return alive back to you. He just knew that he knew deep down on the inside that God is faithful. That God has had his back. God has got our back. God has got your back. God is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie. God is consistent and he is the provider. He knew that God would provide and preserve the life of Isaac one way or the other. Let me say it again. Abraham knew that God would provide and preserve the life of Isaac one way or the other. What do I mean by one way or the other? One way being that he knew God would either provide the substitute sacrifice. Let's see what he says in verse 8. He says this. It says one way. Abraham answered, when the son said, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, in verse 7, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham knew that one way or the other, God would provide. One way being that he knew that one way could be that God would provide the substitute sacrifice in place of Isaac. Or he also knew that if he had sacrificed his son Isaac, God could raise him up from the dead. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. How many here love God's word?
Amen.
All right, Hebrews chapter 11. This is what the writer of Hebrews says concerning this account of Abraham. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Another translation, the New Living Translation, says this, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. This is strong faith. Abraham knew one way or the other, one way or the other, that God would preserve the life of Isaac. One way being either providing a substitute sacrifice, or the other way being that even had Abraham sacrificed Isaac, that God could bring him back to life again. This is strong faith. This is undying faith. And this is the kind of faith that God wants from us. Is that good news here tonight? Got to get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is that you know beyond the shadow of any doubt on the inside that God will be true to His Word. What God has promised you, God will bring to pass. And Abraham knew this. He knew deep down on the inside that God was going to provide, that God would preserve the life of Isaac, the son he had waited for 25 years. He just knew it. That he knew it. He knew that Isaac's life would be preserved. That's strong faith. And he showed that he had a genuine and living faith. He put action to his faith. Let's turn to James chapter 2. He's talking about faith and works. And James writes in James 2, verse 20, you foolish men, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless or dead? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He put action to his faith. He ascended the mountain. He built an altar. He bound up his son. These are all actions. And as he was getting ready to slay the son, in the nick of time, God shows up and provides a ram caught up in a thicket. Do you want God to provide for your need tonight? Do you believe that God can provide for your need tonight? Like he did for Abraham. Do you believe it? Say amen if you do.
Amen.
You got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If without faith, it is impossible to please God, to me it's saying that with faith, it is possible to please God. You've got to know that you know deep down on the inside that God can turn it for the better. That physical diagnosis, that terminal diagnosis. When the doctors are at their wits' end, the divine surgeon steps in and he can provide and turn it around for you and give you healing. He can step in miraculously and provide those finances or a better paying job. You just got to know, you've got to have faith on the inside. You can't quit on your faith. You just got to keep on keeping on with your faith, knowing that God is faithful. The God who provided for Abraham thousands of years ago still provides today. He never changes, and He can provide for your need in 2022. He can do it. You got to have faith, but you also got to put action to your faith, because faith without works is dead. Do you have a living faith, a genuine faith? A living faith, a genuine faith puts action to it. You got to tie action to your faith. So if you're needing more finances, what's one of the things you might be able to do? You might get a job and stay at that job and be committed to that employer day in and day out. And he might promote you and pay you more. It takes action on our part. We've got to do something in the natural to see the supernatural providing power of God going into effect in our lives. You know, maybe it's a health situation. Maybe you've got to do some things in the natural to help turn around that bad physical diagnosis. Maybe changing your diet, exercising more. You see, there's things we can do in the natural, because faith without works is dead. But faith with works, with action, is alive and genuine. Is that making sense here tonight? And you know, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, don't get down on yourself if the provision doesn't come in the timing that you expect. Don't get down on yourself. Don't get down on your faith if the provision for your need does not come in the timing that you expect. Because you know what? If it doesn't come here, is what I said last time, it will come there in heaven one day. And your needs will be perfectly provided for in heaven one day. 100%. If not here, there in heaven one day, your faith will be rewarded. And all of your needs will be perfectly provided for. I'm going to read one more account of miracle provision in the New Testament. We have a few minutes here, but concerning Jesus, God the Son, in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. 14 verse 13. Matthew 14 verse 13. Jesus withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14, verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. So there was a need here, right? These people needed to be fed. It was late. Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus multiplied them. That is miraculous provision, is it not, friends? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can take the little bit that you have and he can multiply it miraculously and provide for that need in your life. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed thousands and thousands of people. And 12 basketfuls of food were left over. Humanly speaking, this would have been impossible to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what's a miracle? It's the supernatural power of God taking a humanly speaking impossible situation and making it possible again. Jesus did the impossible in this situation. Took 5 loaves, 2 fish, he multiplied them and fed thousands of people. He's the same. He can do it for you. He sees your need. God sees your need, and God will provide for that need. If not here, rest assured there in heaven one day, it will be all provided for. But we're believing it will happen on this earth as well, right? And He can do it. He can do it. He is able. God's miracle provision, one last thought. God's miracle provision is bigger than us. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. What's God's miracle provision all about? What's God's miracle provision all about? It's yes, that you would be blessed, that I would be blessed, that we would have our needs met. But greater than that, God's miracle provision is about others. It's that others would see that miracle in your life and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. John 2, verse 23. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. Remember, the miraculous signs, the miracles are bigger than you and me. The miracles are bigger than just for you. Yes, it's to bless you, but it's also to bless those in your spheres of influence, that they would say, wow, I thought that you would never receive that healing, and you did. Wow, I thought that you would never advance financially, and you did. How did it happen? And that right there can be a door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. God did it for me. Jesus Christ did it for me. Jehovah Jireh stepped in on the scene in my life. He saw my need, and He made provision for my healing. He made provision for me financially. He made provision in the area that I needed it most. And they will say, I want that Jesus that you have. And you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Miracles are there to point people to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Right. You know, what Abraham did with Isaac was a foreshadowing of what God did with His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. God did what He was asking Abraham to do. He gave His only begotten Son to die upon a cross on Calvary's Hill, to be buried, after 3 days to rise again. And so that by faith in Him, we could have eternal life. We were all in need of eternal life. We were all separated from God at one point, headed for a destiny that was lost. But God provided eternal life. He provided for the need of eternal life through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago. Is that good news here tonight? What He was asking Abraham to do thousands of years ago in the Old Testament, He did with His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He was offered up as a sacrifice on Calvary's Hill. Died a cruel death on that cross. He was buried, died, rose again. And by faith in Him, that need for eternal life can be fulfilled in your life. It takes faith in Jesus. So tonight, as you are listening, maybe some of you out there have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but tonight you're wanting to do so for the first time. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you're wanting to do so for the very first time, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. If you don't know that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven one day, you've got to know tonight. You've got to have that settled in your heart. You know, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you don't, you need to accept Jesus. Anybody out there for the first time wanting to put their faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord? First time, sir? Oh, you want to recommit your life? Okay, we'll get to that in one sec. All right. Maybe there's some of you out there that accepted Jesus at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with God. You got upset with somebody. You slipped away from Jesus. But tonight you're wanting to re-give or rededicate or recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. I see all those hands out there. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Those standing up here tonight, come to the front, to the altar here. And if God is whispering to others of you by His Holy Spirit to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, don't ignore His voice. Don't ignore His voice. Doesn't matter what somebody in front of you, behind you, on the side of you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. Anybody else? Right, I see that man right up there. Anybody else want to follow their lead? All right, come on. All right. Those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin over 2,000 years ago. I accepted you as Savior, but I slipped away. I've said and done some bad things, but tonight I say I'm sorry. I changed my mind from going my way to going your way only. I repent. I love you, Jesus. Be my Savior again and my Lord. The one in full charge of every part of my life. What I do with my body. What I do with in charge of my spirit. What I think. My relationships. My finances. And Jesus, I thank you that you give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, welcome back to God's family. Welcome back to God's family. And so for those here tonight who recommitted their lives to Christ, there's certain things you can do spiritually to remain close to Christ while you live on this earth. You've got to get into the Word of God on a consistent basis, not just once in a blue moon, not just at Easter and Christmas, but every day of the year. You've got to be praying to God, communicating with Him on a consistent basis. You need to be going to church services, finding good, solid Christian friends. All right? May God richly bless you. And you said you want me to call up one of the students to dismiss them. Which one? You, sir? Nathan? Oh, him right here? You're Nathan, right? All right.